We're into Christmas. How many remember, I think it was about 3 or 4 years ago, I preached on the sermon, Christmas Creates a Passion for Possessions. How many remember that? If you don't remember, just raise your hand and make me feel good. No, I'm kidding. Because you know what? We come into this season, and that's exactly what happens. I went into Walmart last night. I had to pick up some last-minute things to go over into the nursery. And when I went in there, you could hardly get down the aisles. I mean, the parking lot was full. People were fussing and pushing. And I just wanted to take my cart and ram it into somebody. You know, you ever get there? Anybody? Am I alone? Yeah, everybody wants it, right? Man, you just want to go, okay, you want to pick your target and run. And you want to load it down with water so it's good and heavy. And that they actually take the worst brunt of the hit. That way you can let it go and keep running because you know security's coming after you. But sometimes, you know, the shopping season just goes crazy. And then we fall into this mode where we go, oh, you know what? The latest and greatest iPod is out, and so my child wants it. We better get it for him. Well, it's $400, honey. That's okay. Refinance the dog. We got to get this for him, right? And so this is what... Some of you know what I'm talking about. You've done it. No, I'm kidding. And so what happens is there's at all costs we get for our kids or we get for our loved ones because we think in our brain that if we don't get a great gift for them, they're not special and we don't love them. And so we got to get them a great thing because guilt comes over us. And if guilt doesn't come over us because of our own inadequacies as a parent, then guilt comes over us because we feel guilty for what other kids get because your child didn't get what the other children in their school got, right? Somebody, if I'm wrong, you just tell me. And so all of a sudden you're going, okay, well, if little Jimmy's going to get an iPod, then I got to get little Johnny an iPod because when he goes to school, these aren't going to show my kids up. And the next thing you know, 3 years later, we're paying for a broken iPod or one that they traded or got stolen because they didn't know how to take care of it because they get everything. Of course, I know that's nobody in here. And then, I'm not even looking over there anymore. And so, and so what happens is we go out and we create this passion for possessions with no appreciation. And then we wonder why our children are off the chart. We wonder why our kids don't appreciate anything. I have never seen a society as such as we have now where kids have everything. 9 years old, 10 years old, walking around with cell phones. That's insane. My daughter went out the other day and she goes, see, this is why I need a cell phone, because it was some school event and then we had to find them in the crowd and stuff like that. And we go, who are you going to be with? And they said their names. Everyone has a cell phone. Borrow it. Use their minutes because you're not getting one. You know what I'm saying? When you're 16, if you can afford it, go for it. If you lose it, it's your credit. What do you want me to do? We have become a society that caters to killing our children morally, spiritually, and when it comes to values. We're killing them. Because the parents, for the most, are the same way. Guys, I want you to know today what we're going to talk about is how to create a Christmas that strengthens your family. And if you notice, it says here, recreating Christmas, making more of less this holiday. Because what I want you guys to get this year, I mean, let's face it, the economy's tough. People are losing their jobs. People are getting ready to lose their jobs. I mean, the economy is tough. Things are coming down. And people that think that they have security, they don't have security. All these people, I've got friends that were multimillionaires in the stock market. And today they're working a 9-to-5 job trying to pay their bills now because when the stock market crashed, they literally lost millions of dollars. There is no security today. There's only one secure place to be, and that's in the arms of Jesus. That's it. That is it. And you know, if you get frazzled about what's going on, you're gonna have hair like mine, gray. And you don't want that. And so What you want to do is you want to trust Jesus. You want to put yourself in the Lord's hands. And so what we're going to do is we're just going to go over three things today on how you can be a blessing to your family, how you can bless your family without spending all this money. Because I'm going to tell you, what I'm going to cover today, your family wants more than the iPod, more than a phone. And if they don't, you got issues with your child. How many ever watch Andy Griffith? I love it. You guys rock, man. I would have thought we were in the South the way them hands went up. How many have ever been to Mayberry? There is no Mayberry. Put your hands down. It's Mount Airy. Mount Airy, they... never mind. Okay. If you've been to Mount Airy, you've been to Mayberry. How's that? Okay. And so... Now I feel bad because I caught you guys in a lie. There was an episode on Andy Griffith's show. And what happened was this kid gets a bicycle because he gets everything that he wants. And so dad went out and bought him a bicycle. Dad went out and bought him everything he wants. It became very apparent that this child gets everything. Well, he's riding the bicycle on the sidewalks, and he was stopped by Andy, the sheriff, and he said, "Don't ride down that, on the sidewalk anymore. Do you understand me?" "Yes, sir." And then he goes around the block, and it isn't 2 minutes later, here comes this kid down the sidewalk again, causes an old lady to throw her bags of groceries, you know, and everything. And so they stop him, they impound the bicycle, and send him home to his dad, crying. Well, his dad comes down into the court or into the jailhouse, and they're sitting there, and his dad says, "Now give the boy back his bicycle." "No, sir. He broke the rules, and we've impounded it, and we're going to keep it for a week." And so the little boy starts throwing a temper tantrum. "I want my bicycle." You guys have seen this. It goes on today, every day in Walmart. And "I want," you know, stomping his feet, kicking, rolling around. And so Andy says, "Well, the only way that you'll get your bicycle back is I'll have to arrest your dad." Basically, it's a swap. "I don't care, arrest my dad. I want my bicycle." And then finally the light bulb came on in dad's head, where he looks down at his child, who doesn't even notice him because his child is so busy crying for this bicycle. "Put my dad in jail. I don't care. He'll show you. I want my bicycle. Put him in jail." And the dad is in awe because he realized what kind of child he has. The value that that child had for his father was nothing compared to the value for his possessions. Guys, it shouldn't be that way. And so today we're going to look at some scriptures, and we're going to look at a few things. I didn't have a handout today, to be quite honest with you. I just didn't get it done. I had this urge to sleep all week, and it just kind of caught up with me. You know, I woke up and went, "It's time to go to church," and I'm not done. So you didn't get a handout today. My fault, but I'll take the heat. I'll fire the guy that's responsible for it. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to look at it. Number one, first thing we're going to look at today. If you'll turn your Bibles to Hebrews 11, 20 through 21. Chapter 11, verses 20 through 21. The first thing we're going to look at is take the time to bless your family. You know, we fail to take the time for our family because we in our minds we do this. "Well, I am blessing my family because that's why I go to work. I work to make the money so I can bless my family and give them." And you know, the truth being told, your family doesn't care about all the things as much as they care about time with you. That's truth be told. And what happens is the parents get so busy and they go, "Well, we need two incomes." I understand that. Believe me, I do. I pay the same taxes you do. I live in the same state you do. The cost is the cost. I understand it. I understand going to the pump that we're 40 cents higher than any other state in the union. I understand going to the grocery store that we're on average a quarter higher than any other state in the union. I understand when you pay the taxes, we pay enough to buy the United States 10 times. I understand that. But at what cost is it to have all the goodies And then you're losing your family. I was talking to a gentleman the other day, I normally don't have this many stories, but I really want you to get it because this is real life stuff. I really want you to grab hold of this. It's a prominent guy in the community. I can't say who it is, but has lots and lots of money. And the other gentleman that was telling me about it was shocked that his 14-year-old was caught in the basement. 14-year-old boy was caught in the basement with his brother and two 14-year-old girls. Wasn't a whole lot of communicating going on. 14 years old. They were shocked. How could this be? My question to the one that was telling me about it, how much time do they spend with their children? Oh, they don't. They buy them everything because they can afford it. They got a house that would fit every one of us. We could live in it pretty easy. And it's always constantly give, 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 give. What all these kids want is the parents. Not necessarily all the gifts. Take time to bless your family. Hebrews 11:20-21. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of his sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on top of his staff. If you were to go back into Genesis and read the account of when Isaac blessed Jacob, Esau sold his birthrights for a bowl of soup, and then he ended up losing the blessing from his father. And for him, that was huge. Like, that was the ultimate. And if you go back and you read, Esau will talk about, he took my blessing, man. Forget the birthright. He took the blessing of my father. He took the hand of my father, the promise that my father was going to give me. He took that from me. I mean, that was the biggest thing in Esau's life, because he lost the blessing of his father. And guys, I'm just going to tell you right now, the difference you make, and ladies too, by the way, because, you know, when I'm right now, I'm talking about the man because I have this as an example. But moms, don't lose heart. Every time a child runs out and gets a tattoo, the first thing it is mom. Right? I love mom. If they're on TV and they make a touchdown, first thing they do, love you, mom. Right? So don't lose heart, because I'm talking to the gentleman right now. You are everybody's pick. We know it. The men can live with it. Okay. So here's what happens. The kids, they want a blessing from their dad. Dad is incredibly important into the household. As a matter of fact, the kids would sacrifice any gift in the world to have a day of fishing with dad, or a day of whatever they're into, where dad just stops and says, okay, you know what? Let's go do it, kids. And I don't care if it's a boy or girl. I'm talking just spending time with your children. You need to do that. The greatest gift you can give them is you. Not your wallet, not your debt, not your credit card. Not 10 more hours at work, at the office, so that you can come home and get them another gift. The greatest gift you can give them is you. Be a blessing. Bless your children. Bless them. Talk to them. Now, how can we bless them? You know, just a meaningful touch. A hug. Man, you guys know this. I hug my children. I mean, I hug them. And it isn't a little, yeah, hey, how you doing? Get out of my way. It's, pick them up, dangle their feet, give them a hug, a touch. How about an encouraging word? Man, what kind of difference would that make? That would take somebody's chest, boy or girl, that goes like this, and their shoulders are all slumped, and you let mom or dad, especially dad, I'm sorry, but it's how it is, it's what God, the way God made it. Their shoulders are slumped, and you let dad walk by, and bless them by touching them, hugging them, loving them, telling them just a nice word to them. And you'll see them grow 2 inches, 3 inches. Shoulders will go back, chest out, head up, and a grin. Because listen, kids want mom and dad. Especially dad. Not because they're more special, but because, listen, there's something about dad loving their children. There's just something about it. It's the way God's designed it. And I don't care how old of a child you have. I don't care if they're out of the house and as gray as you. Give them a hug. Call them up. I love you. Send them a note. Send them a little I love you note because you're the greatest kid I've ever had. Bless them. Bless them with your touch, with your spoken message. How about attaching a value to that child? Let them know how valuable they are to you. That's what Esau did. Listen, that's what Isaac did up here when Hebrews talking about it. If you go back in Genesis, Isaac is telling his children how valuable they are to him. He's telling them how much he loves them. He's promising them his love and his dedication. Listen, Isaac is lifting up his children. And when Esau didn't get it, it floored him. For a Jew, they want that more than anything, to be blessed by their father. Mom, love on your kids. You do, but don't forget. Sometimes through the hectic season, and dads, you're probably worse than this than anybody. Through the hectic season, you don't bless your children, you curse them. Come home from work, leave me alone. Been rough. You don't understand. I work all day, put a roof over your head. Well, Dad, let's go sleep in a tent. If it'll take the edge off of you and help you to love me, I'd rather sleep in a tent. You ever give a gift to a child and they play with a cardboard box and leave the expensive gift on the floor? And you're going, no, play with the toy. And they're like, no, I want the box. See, kids don't value what you value. They value you. Bless them. Take the time to bless your family. Have you guys ever promised your children something and then never fulfilled it? Maybe instead of buying them gifts this year, just fulfill a few promises that you can. You know what I'm saying? How cool would that be? Guys, I'm not trying to help you save money. I'm trying to help you save your family. I'm not trying to help you keep money in the bank. I'm trying to help you keep your family as one. It's not because I'm, okay, truth be told, I can't stand holidays. I just don't like them. I'm a bah humbug, but I've learned how to live with it, and so can you. I don't care for holidays. I don't know if it's since my parents all passed away, and I don't know what triggers it in my brain to not particularly care for holidays, but I don't particularly care for holidays. But I tell you what I do care for is my family. They don't love me because I buy them things, because I usually don't. I'm cheap. You want it? Save up your money. It'll take me 2 years, Daddy. Well, think of how much you'll appreciate it when you get it. You know? I'm cheap. But here's what my kids do know. Dad loves them. Dad's going to bless them. He's going to love on them. And it's not because I'm any more special than anybody else or any better than any other dad. It's just that that's where my priorities are. And when I lose those priorities, guess who's the first one to tell me? My children. And you got to stop and go, whoa, put on the brakes. Put on the brakes. When Isaac blessed Esau, Genesis 27 through 29, I'll read it. It says, and he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said, surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren. And let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you. And this is the blessing that Isaac gave to his son. And I want you to think about this for a minute. He says, surely the smell of my son It's actually a little more poetical than if you read the Song of Solomon and what the way he compares his woman. You'd have to read that one. But he said, surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. You guys ever smell a fresh cut field? I love that smell. Man, the grass just comes along and you're like, man, that's the best smell. You can just sit outside and just take it all in. And he says, listen, the smell of my son is like the smell of the field. It's a good one. It's one to remember. Here we are in the middle of winter. When's the last time you smelled a fresh cut field, but yet you remember it to this day? That's how important and how special it was. And he's saying, listen, you're like that to me. And it's not just the smell of the field, but the one that the Lord has blessed. That's how special you are to me. That's how much I love you. Man, the blessing that comes from the Father. The same is true of your children. They want your approval and blessing more than anything else in the world. I can give them my approval. The teacher can give them their approval. Friends can give them their acceptance. But nothing is like dad. And nothing is like mom just loving them. Kids crave for their parents just to love them. Guys, I'm challenging you right now to think of ways to have a Christmas where it involves little money. Little money. Man, wrap up promises in a box. So when they open it up and they read it, they got something to look forward to. Man, wrap up a special picture with a note on it and how proud you were the day that that happened. Guys, be creative and do something for your children besides just buying them a gift and sticking it under the tree. But don't just do that as a way out of spending money. You got to mean it. You got to love on them, man. You got to make it special. This has got to be a day where when they come to the tree in the morning and they're looking, you got to stop. And they got to know that when they get there, man, that mom and dad has loved on them. And then you fulfill your promises. That means you got to take time to think about what you write down. Because let me tell you, if you write it down and you give it and you don't fulfill it, you will crush them worse than if you ever did nothing. Take time to bless your family and bless them indeed. There was a news program on where parents were going in and that these babies are crack babies, drug babies in the hospital. And the parents, the moms just gave them up, left them. And here these crack babies are in the hospital with no family, no loved ones, anything. And so what happens is there's actually a ministry where these ladies will go into the hospital and they'll love on these crack baby children. They'll hold them, they'll kiss them and smooch them, and they'll love on them and ooh, goo, goo. You know what I'm talking about? Like only faces that only children will make adults make. You know what I'm saying? And sounds that they say and you're like, oh yeah. Only kids will do that, and they do this. And they say the recovery rate is 10 times faster than a child left alone. 10 times faster. What's that say? Guys, we are what makes the difference. The loving touch, the kind word, that's what makes the difference this year. With your children, do that. Love on them. How many have ever been in a place, a beautiful, beautiful building, and you go into it, and I mean, it's absolutely the most gorgeous thing you've ever seen in your life, but there's nobody there but you. And you're like, man, how beautiful this is, but it's kind of cold, there's not much to it. And then people start coming in. Like, you were the first one there to turn on the light, turn on the heat and everything. Like, I come into here, I'll turn on the lights and the heat or whatever. And if it's just me, it's like, okay, it's whatever. This place doesn't come to life until you get here. The difference isn't made until you guys get here. The love isn't felt until you guys get here. The fellowship doesn't happen until you guys get here. We don't change people's lives until you get here. We don't go out and impact the world until everyone's here and we go out. You take one person, they'll struggle to do something. You put a crowd together, man, it gets done like that. What makes the difference? People. What do we long for? People. Approval, acceptance, love. I'm telling you, bless your children like Isaac blessed his. And it'll change their lives. There was a man that shared that he could not recall his father ever touching him even once or speaking approvingly of him. He couldn't recall it. There was another man that shared with tears in his eyes. And this is what he said, quote, "The only time I ever remember my dad liking me was when I passed him on the stairs and he patted me on the head." That's the only time that he can recall his dad ever showing affection toward him. And he took that as he liked me. Think about that, guys. We need to bless our children. And you need to do it because they grow up so fast. I remember holding my little girls when we were in church. And of course, it's funny because everybody, and we were in a church that was running about 1,200. And you guys know I'm an intense guy. I got a strong personality. I'm working on it. I understand. And so everybody in the church was praying that we'd have girls. And I'm going, why are you guys praying we'd have girls? Because we're praying they'll soften you up some, John. And I'm like, no, don't do that. So at any rate, we have girls, and I love my girls. Wouldn't trade them for the world. Maybe, I don't know, I'm kidding. And I remember putting them, I would put them in the palm or in my arm right here, and their legs, with one leg would be on each side, their head would be in my hand. And we're sitting there during service. And for the entire service, I would bounce them and rock them just like this. The entire service. That's how I carried them around. Their head was here. Their bottom was there. Legs over on each side. And I'd carry them all through church like that. Man, they'd wake up. I'd rock them a little more. They'd go right back to sleep. I mean, I remember that like it was yesterday, not 13 years ago. Wow. Just like that. Every time I turn around now, Dad, I need new shoes. Why? My toes are touching the end. Who told you you could grow? Dad, I need new pants. Why? These ones come up above my ankles. So? Cut them a little bit down and you got them, what are them three-quarter pants called? Capris. There you go. Live with them. Who told you you can grow? It's amazing. I remember just watching them go through the stages where, okay, their teeth are starting to come in, and you're like, yes, and then now you got to pull the ones that came in. You were so excited to see them come in. Now they're falling out. Now new ones are coming in. And taking them through the whole process. Guys, they grow up so fast. Bless your children. Second thing, take time to teach them. Take time to teach them. Deuteronomy 6:6 through 8 says this. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. That is Deuteronomy 6:6 through 8. Look to what he says, that you should be teaching them the word of the Lord. It says, and you shall teach you, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them. Listen, how often should we be talking of the words of God and instilling them into our children's heart, instilling them into our heart, but specifically our children right here? And you shall teach them diligently, it says, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. It's constant. It's all the time. God should be so heavy on your heart that it just pours out into your children's lives. The problem is, society is so heavy on our heart that God just... I don't know, where is God? Things are so heavy on our heart that God is... I don't know. Where is God? See, guys, we have to balance this out. And the only balance, like literally the pivot point of the balance is Christ. And it's doing it right here. Because listen, if you don't teach them, when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, in today's society, because children are facing more than we've ever faced growing up. And let me say this, I grew up, I was wide open everywhere I went. I was in as much trouble as you could think of. I was a very energetic, enthusiastic child for trouble. And I look at what they face today. And by the way, just because it's legal doesn't mean it's right. Just because the law says that it's legal, it is not right if it's contrary to the Word of God. Teach your children the way of God. Teach your children His Word. Hide their Word in their heart that they might not sin against Him. Hide God's Word in their heart. We need to teach our children. We need to teach them values. Do your children know your values? I mean, like, do they really know where you stand? Do they know where you stand on issues? Do they know if a TV show comes on that you would approve of it or not approve of it? Do they know your values? Do they know how you would talk and how you would handle situations? Do they know who you are? Can they take a stand saying, I know this is where my parents would want me to stand. I've seen them live it. I've heard them talk it. And so I'm going to stand right here because I know it would please my parents. Do they know where you stand? Have you taught them? You ask children today, well, what would your mom think if she heard you talk like that? Oh, she wouldn't care. What would your dad do if he heard you talk like that? He'd pat me on the head. That's what we get today. Listen, I talked to a good friend of mine who's a principal at a school. And he'll call parents up because they have beat up one of the children, one of their friends in the classroom or whatever. And he'll call them up and the parent will come in and go, that's my boy, he knows to defend himself. That's my boy, come on boy, you did good. Well, your kid just got suspended for 5 days. That's all right. He stood up. Why don't you teach him to not fight? No, boy, got to learn how to protect himself. Yeah, that's true, but there's a way to do it. My girls know you get in their face, they'll put you in a rear naked choke till you pass out. Then we'll talk about it when it's over. I'm kidding. Listen, what are you teaching your children? Do your children know where you stand and how you would act? And then how does that line up with God's Word? And it's not just your children. It's everybody that you influence. It's your whole world of influence. And you go, I don't influence nobody. Yes, you do. Everybody has a circle of influence. What are you teaching? Who are you teaching it to? This is an amazing thing. I've got to cover this. The average child today watches about 27 hours of TV in 1 week. What are they learning? 27 hours of TV in 1 week is the average child. Has anybody watched TV lately to see what's on it? I mean, I don't watch, our shows are very limited. Now that we found Happy Days, we'll watch Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley, Andy Griffith. We kind of burn out on Urkel. We watch the shows like that. And of course they're pre-recorded. And if you, every now and then you hit a commercial and you're, I am blown away at what they're allowing on TV. Do you realize that the commercials today are rated R? Anybody realize that? What are our children learning? How about the music? How many of you have pulled up to a red light and you hear this boom, 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 and your windows are vibrating with their windows even though you didn't ask for it? But now you got, and you're just hoping that it can withstand the pressure and the windows not shatter? And then all of a sudden you hear the words. And the verbiage that comes out of that radio is unbelievable. Like, not just unbelievable. I'm talking the four-letter word, the really bad one, constant through a song. And you just want to get out and go, turn it off. No, here's what I really want to do. I want to, never mind. I want to blow up their radio. They should have a device in there that I can sync up with a remote. And so when I come up to their car, I can just hit the button and you'll watch their radio go boom. And just blow right out of the dash and smoke roll up. And they have this freaked out look on their face like, what just happened? I want that remote. What are we teaching our children, allowing them? What is today teaching them? And it says, over the course of a year, children spend more time watching TV than they spend in school or participating in any other activity besides sleep. Now think about that, guys. The average American child will have watched 100,000 acts of televised violence, including 8,000 murders, by the time he or she finishes sixth grade. You compare those statistics to the fact that the average father spends 8 to 14 minutes a day communicating with his children. That takes my breath away. 8 to 14 minutes a day the average father spends with his child. Now, I don't have the stats on a mom that's real busy, because some moms are really busy too. But you think about that. What is dominating their life? If you add that to the fact that children were taught at home almost entirely by their parents 200 years ago and now spend 5 days a week, at least 6 hours per day in a godless public education system, you realize the difficulty of our task. On top of that, our children face enormous pressure to conform with their peers. Getting things pierced that shouldn't be. As children. You guys heard me talk about a 12-year-old in Massachusetts that wanted to be a girl. So the parents took the school to court and they won and sued the school. So now the school's got to let boys go into girls' bathrooms. You know whose fault that is? Mom and dad. First thing we got to do is look them up and go tell them what we think. It's their fault. I'm not going to blame the 12-year-old until he gets 18. Then I'll tell him. No, I'm kidding. Listen, as loving Christian parents, what can you do? What can you do? And what about the children you're around that you can influence? What can you do? Here's the top 10 values that would be the best values to pass on to your children. You can write them down if you'd like. Top 10. Number one, to love, follow, and obey God. That's number one. Number two, to stand up for right and wrong against wrong, to despise injustice. Today, kids don't even know what injustice is anymore. A sense of number three, a sense of responsibility that motivates them to fulfill their obligations. Responsibility, obligations, sound foreign to kids today? It looks like it. Number four, the ability to admit they are wrong and accept the consequences instead of blaming others. That would be a breath of fresh air. Number five, respect for others, especially those in authority. Have you noticed how much kids have no respect for anybody? But have you noticed how adults have no respect for anybody? And we wonder where our children get it. Number seven, or number six, the importance of family. Seven, the value of a dollar. How to save it, spend it, and give it generously. Number eight, a good sense of self-worth. Number nine, a work ethic. You mention work to kids today and they pass out. Let alone have them do it. Number 10, faith to believe they can accomplish absolute anything with the help of God. The third thing, and I'm going to have to buzz through this one. Number three, take time to dream with them. Take time to dream with your children. Have you ever stopped just to share with your children not what you want them to be? Not your expectations for their life as far as career and how well they do in sports or whatever, because you know we have this major sports god now. I don't know if you've seen him or met him lately. He's all over the place. Just look, and he dominates and rules everybody's life, the old sports god. But have you ever actually just stopped and took the time to dream with your children? Just to share with them how you would love to see their life turn out, with God being the focal point. Maybe how they would be a hard worker and they'd earn what they have and they would do good and they would respect authority. Take time to dream with them how important they are to you, how important your spouse is to you. Take time to dream with your children, to dream with each other. Have you ever just stopped to do that? Or do you think they already know because you're a poor communicator, but you think you're a great communicator, so you don't communicate because you already think you got it mastered? Dream with your children. Dream with your family. And then communicate that. Let them know that they are the biggest part of your dream. And of course, everything focused on God. Guys, we got to get back to communicating. When I'm talking about this with family, by the way, Jeremiah 29:11, if you just want to write down a scripture reference, says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." God says, listen, I have a dream for you, to give you a future and a hope. Have you ever stopped and talked to your kids that way? Take time to dream with them. An unknown author said this: when you reach for the stars, you may not get one, but you won't come up with a handful of mud either. Guys, dream with your children. Dream with your spouse. Dream with your family. Create something other than an electronic world. That's what you need to do for Christmas this year. Don't run out there and fight the madness. If you do, load your cart up with a bunch of water and run it into something. Okay. But dream with them. Don't make it about stuff. Make it about each other. Bring your kids into reality this year by loving them. That's where the difference is made. I want everyone to stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And I'm not going to take long with this. And I know this wasn't an evangelistic message that you need Jesus, or if you don't have Jesus, you're going to die and go to hell. Even though that's true. I know I didn't preach that today, but it's not my goal. My goal is to encourage you guys to live for God and teach that to your family. And so if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ, it's going to be real hard to teach Him His beliefs. Teach your children His beliefs. It's going to be real hard to raise your kids in a godly home where God is not there. And so I'm just challenging you today. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can have that opportunity right now. The Bible says without Him you will not get to heaven. If you wish to receive Christ as your Savior, every head bowed, every eye closed, and I will not embarrass you, you pray this prayer. But it's got to be from the heart. It's got to be what you desire, or else don't waste your time. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am not all that you have dreamed of me to be. But Lord, right now I'm going to give my life to you. Lord, right now I repent of my sins. Lord, right now I ask you to teach me what it is that you want me to do. Today, Lord, I give you my life. Save my soul and give me heaven. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it with your heart, every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody's looking around. If you